Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 28th of January, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Stephen Williams, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rehobold Resources, RBD is the ticker there. And Stephen discusses the successful production test and forward plan at their VG Fourwell in California. Plus, I also have on the podcast Paul Welsh, President and Chief Executive Officer of SDX Energy. That's SDX. I also have Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Specialist, talking about the following companies: Sound Energy, SDX Energy, Union Jack Oil, Block Energy, and Frontera Resources. And as always, I have two lists for you. That's the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of these lists, plus lots of content at voxmarkets.co.uk. In fact, right there now on the front page is a question and answer session with Rehobold Resources CEOs Sachin Oza and Stephen Williams, who had in the podcast there. So check that out, voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Stephen Williams, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rehobold Resources, RBD. It's a ticker there. Stephen, thanks for joining me.
Good to be here, Justin.
Yeah, some more positive news, and the market is liking it. Yeah, yeah, share price is up, and so you've announced a production test and forward plan at VG Fourwell, the West Brentwood license in California, and we'll get into the detail of that in a bit. Before we do, Stephen, if someone's sort of new to podcasting and new to investing and not heard of the company, can you summarise what is Rehobold all about, please?
Yeah, so I mean, we're a relatively new oil and gas company with a very unique strategy within the industry. So what we do is we identify high quality projects that are in the pre-cash flow stage and have typically become a bit stranded due to lack of capital available for the operators of those projects. And we provide funding for those projects. So we fund the drilling of wells, which we think is a sweet spot in terms of value creation within these projects and within these kinds of assets. So we think we can fund maybe that last appraisal well that really turns a very low valued pre-cash flow asset into a producing asset, or an asset which is valued more like a producing asset. And we think that gives us very, very high returns on capital that we put into those assets.
Yeah, and just summarise where you are invested, because you've got, is it four different projects at the moment?
We've got a number of different projects. So we've got projects in the US, in California. We're drilling wells offshore the UK and onshore in the UK. And we've also got an investment in Romania, which we'll be drilling later on this quarter.
Marvellous. And within California, there's sort of four parts to it, aren't there? Sort of Monroswell, there's West Brentwood. Is that right? Is it four parts or three parts?
There's three parts. So we've got Monroe Swell, which was the first place we started working on. We did some workovers on existing wells at Monroe Swell that went onto production last summer. Mm-hmm. Then there's West Brentwood, where we've now drilled two successful wells. We'll go back and drill at Monroe Swell again next. And then there's another project called Grizzly Island, which is a big project, big target, slightly more technical risk associated with that one, but another very exciting opportunity.
Grizzly Island, it conjures up images that. anyway, let's go into this VG4 well, West Brentwood license. So you're very pleased, and you say the results are exceeding. So take us through the details, if you could.
Yeah, so, you know, we drilled VG3 last year. That was the first well that we drilled in California. Very good result from that, and we were very excited. So we decided to drill again at West Brentwood. So we drilled the VG4 well, hoping to replicate VG3. We've actually done significantly better than that. So we announced a few weeks ago that the well was successful in terms of we drilled it and we logged pay. We did the flow test, though, just over the weekend just gone by, and the production rate is far better than we were expecting. So over a 19-hour period, we average 480 barrels of oil per day, plus a reasonable amount of gas as well. At one point, we saw 1,000 barrels per day flow rate, which we had to choke back. So this is a very, very impressive production rate. And the reason why this is irrelevant is the economics associated with these kind of wells that we're drilling in California are very, very, very strong. Mm-hmm. We generate lots of cash very quickly. They pay back very quickly. And it really is phenomenal economics at this kind of production rate. And so maybe to put some context around it, you know, we'd have been very happy in terms of financial performance from this kind of project at 100 barrels a day. So to get something that's more like 500 barrels a day is kind of speaks for itself, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a question from a private investor, actually. And obviously, there is decline rates, but he said, can you clarify the sort of decline rates? Because you floated it over a 19-hour period and obviously choked it back. You say the oil produced was 371 barrels over the period. So can you clarify, is it possible to clarify the decline rates on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't have an exact answer to that because we haven't flowed it yet. But this kind of asset has very low decline rates associated with it. And this is in stark contrast to most activity onshore US these days, which is associated with the unconventional wells, the shale type wells. And they have very high initial production rates and then very aggressive declines. So that's the kind of profile of production people are more used to now in North America. But we are the exact opposite. So these kind of conventional targets have very low decline rates associated with them.
Yeah, and in fact, Ian, who's a big fan of the, I assume he's a shareholder in you, but he does also ask, when will you give your next financial update? And what is that? Is that the year end was December, wasn't it?
So we have our financial year is the calendar year, so year end was the end of December, and we haven't got an exact date for when we'll be putting the full year financials out, but you know, obviously they'll be coming out in due course.
Yeah, okay, marvelous stuff. Excellent. And what's next then, Stephen? What's the next sort of big milestone you're hoping to complete here? I know something's happening in Coulter as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when we touched earlier on the portfolio and where we have our various assets and investments, and you know, we really are at the most exciting point in terms of activity across that portfolio at the moment. So within the next few weeks, we should be drilling Coulter off the south coast of England. We'll be drilling at Munro Swell, which we talked about earlier, which is the next California asset. And then very soon after that, we'll be drilling at West Newton, which is our onshore UK project, and drilling the first well over in Romania with Danube Petroleum. So that's four very significant wells all coming up within the next few weeks.
Yeah, lots going on. Okay, well, if someone is listening right now, Stephen, but they're not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, so I mean, to reiterate what we said, look, the VG4 well in combination with the production we've already got from VG3 means we're now generating significant amounts of cash, which I think is very important for a company like us. We're in the middle of this very exciting drilling campaign, and we've got four very important wells coming up in a very compressed time period. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, we're not done with in terms of building out this portfolio. So we can continue to identify these very exciting opportunities that we can, you know, I think make a big difference to by supplying that little bit of capital that drills that very important appraisal well in each case. So I think there'll be more to come within the Rehoboth portfolio.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, as cash flow comes in, then options open up, don't they?
Well, that was always the idea, right? I mean, we've been going to the market and raising money in order to implement this strategy, and that's, you know, how we funded things to date. At some point, what you want is to be able to generate cash from the projects by either selling them or producing the oil and generating cash that way, and then that becomes the funding source for the for future projects.
Excellent stuff, Stephen. Good to chat to you. Like you say, you're very busy, lots of things going on. So no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Paul Welch, President and CEO of SDX Energy, and that's SDX ticker. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Justin.
Yeah, we haven't spoken for a while, and I think I could even say Happy New Year to you, even though it's the end of January nearly. But, you know, you keep being busy as normal, lots of news out, so it's good to get you on. You've released an update on what's happening, and we'll dig into that, the detail of that, in a bit. Before we do, as always, Paul, people say someone's listening right now and not familiar with SDX. Just summarise what you're all about, please.
Yeah, so SDX is an oil and gas producer focused on North Africa. We're producing roughly 5,000 barrels a day, of which 4,000 is in Egypt and another 1,000 barrels equivalent is in Morocco. We've been in this part of the world for about 10 years now, and we've seen significant growth. So from 2013 until today, we've taken our production from 700 barrels a day now up to north of 5,000. And this year, we should breach the 10,000 barrel a day mark. So quite a lot ahead of us. And hopefully, we'll talk some of that in the next few minutes here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, operations and corporate update you've released. So let's break it down. Let's look at Morocco first. Tell us what's happening there, please, Paul.
Okay, so in Morocco, we've got a significant amount of growth planned for this year. So last year, we averaged about 5.2 million cubic feet a day of sales. This year, we finished closer to 8, and this year, we're looking to take it up to between 9 and 11. So we'll see a doubling year on year here. That's partly primarily due to a 12-well program that we have initiated, along with some 240 square kilometers of 3D seismic that we acquired and one of the permits that we picked up. So so a lot of potential ahead of us. We've connected 3 new customers with a 4th to be connected this month, and then we see 3 additional customers in 2019. And I think, as we've discussed in the past, there's a large car manufacturer called Peugeot, which hopefully a lot of your listeners have heard. They are starting up operations in their factory this year in the city of Kenitra. We sell gas to that factory, so when that factory kicks off, you know, we're going to see some additional demand growth there. So a lot happening in Morocco in 2019 for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's move over to Egypt then. What's going on there?
So in Egypt, we have 3 concessions. We have the first one we'll talk about is Meseta. And Meseta, we're making at the moment just over 4,000 barrels a day. We plan to keep it at that level. Our guidance now is between 4,000 and 4,200 barrels a day for 2019. We've seen a lot of growth here. When we picked this up, we was making 3,000 barrels a day. So we got as high as just slightly north of 5,000 this year. We've come off a bit. We've seen some water encroachment, but we see good growth ahead of us in this. Again, this is an interesting concession because it's a service agreement in Egypt. So as a result of that, our margins are quite high. So at $60 Brent, you know, our margin is somewhere north of $25 a barrel. So it's a great concession for us. We then go on to Northwest Kemsa. Northwest Kemsa has been our premier asset for quite a while, and it's definitely matured. We're making there just over 4,500 barrels a day at the moment, but we're going to see some significant decline in 2019. So our guidance here is between 3,400 and 3,500 barrels a day. And this is because this thing is very, very mature. We have 2 horizons under water flood, and they are performed exceptionally well. So the field is fully developed. We don't see any additional room for infill producers. And so as we move through 2019 and beyond, we just see maintenance capex here. So just doing workovers, repairing things that break and that sort of thing. So again, a big cash generator for us, no capex required. But again, a mature asset that we probably have 2 to 3 years ahead of us in. And then the big story for 2019 for us is South Dussouk. This is an area that we up in the Nile Delta in Egypt where we've made a number of discoveries. We've gotten, finally gotten permission to turn this on. The government signed our development lease on January 2nd of this year. And so now it's full steam ahead to get this up and running. This will be on mid-year. But beyond production mid-year at 55 million cubic feet a day. We have 55% of this. So when you add that to our existing 5,000 barrels a day, that takes us up to north of 10. So this is where we see the growth in 2019. It's a big project. It's well underway. We're in the process of connecting our central facility to the main grid. So we put some pictures out of this large 12-inch pipeline that's being put into the ground. So we're pretty excited about to have this thing finally underway and to deliver this gas to our shareholders or to the authority in mid-2019. So a great project for us.
Yeah. So currently, how many barrels of oil per day equivalent are you sort of producing then, Paul?
So at the moment, we're producing right at 5,000 presently, so that's net to us.
Yeah, and if someone had to try and work out, you know, what you're making on that, I mean, could you say what your all-sustaining cost is on all that?
That'd be tough to pop off the top of my head. I think if we look at it, you know, we have a capital program this year about $36 million. That's all going to come from internal sources. So that gives people a feel for where we are kind of financial perspective. So yeah. I think that's kind of the best way to think about it. Once we turn on South Dussuk, then our cash generative prospects really take off because all the capital will be behind us. And the operating costs in gas wells is relatively low, so there's a big margin there. And I think, you know, one thing that I didn't mention up front is that, you know, in Morocco, we sell that gas for $10.50 an MCF on average. So that's a very high margin business for us. So there alone, I think we generate somewhere north of $15 million bucks in cash flow from that area. So again, very, very attractive margins in our business at the present time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And and just looking forward now, what's the next sort of bit of news, next big milestone you're hoping to achieve?
So I think for us, the first half of the year is going to be kind of dominated by the development of South Dussuk. So getting getting that connected up, get the CPF in place and starting production. And then I think moving forward, the second half of 2019 is going to be back to drilling again, something that, you know, we definitely enjoy doing, have had a lot of success at. So we have, you know, two big programs, one in Egypt and one in Morocco. The South Dussuk project or development plan in Egypt is going to be exciting, but then we still have additional exploration upside from that. So at the moment, we've got two wells planned. Hopefully, we can expand that program and to add to the volume potential that we already have achieved in South Dussuk, because now that the South Dussuk facility is going to be up and running, connecting these wells up and turning them on production is going to be relatively quick. And so as a result of that, we can take that 55 million cubic feet a day number and start to increase it because the pipeline capacity that we have between the CPF and the gas grid can handle 140 million cubic feet a day of gas. And the authority has told us there's 150 million cubic feet of ullage in the line we're selling into. So they are actively encouraging us to go out and find some more volume potential so we can deliver into that ullage that they've identified. So again, a lot of excitement in the second half of the year from the drill bit. The first half of the year is going to be dominated by getting South Dussuk up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's looking good for the 2019 lease anyway, so and plenty to come. So Paul, if someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what you're doing here and are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons in summary why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay. I think firstly, we're exciting. We're going to double our production in 2019. We've doubled our gas production in Morocco between 2018 and 2019. So we see a lot of growth there, and that cascades then into cash flow generation. So we're really going to generate some cash moving forward. You know, a very active program that we've just discussed. And we're in excellent financial health. So, you know, we have no debt. Everything we do is from internally generated cash. So we're in very good shape to move the story forward. And, you know, we're excited. We see a lot of potential and a lot of growth, not only in 2019, but in 2020 and beyond.
Excellent stuff, Paul. Good to chat to you. And like I say, you're very busy. Lots of things going on. So no doubt we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is oil and gas sector specialist Malky. You're right, fella.
I'm very well, thanks, Justin. And you?
Yeah, not too bad. And just thinking, it's a and look at the weather outside. I guess there's a lot of people out there burning a lot of gas, a lot of oil. And I just wonder what it's like. I mean, obviously we're in the Northern Hemisphere, so it gets colder here. But I just wonder what, how much increased production, how much oil is used by, you know, residential and businesses in the winter. It must be a heck of a lot, doesn't it? Surely when you get the beast from the east coming in, and there's more threats that are happening this year, it must really significantly...
It evens itself out. I mean, what you really want for energy demand is a really big cold snap in the States, on the northeast of the States, where... Yeah. You know, they have to pick up the, you know, press the heating button everywhere. But I think I mentioned it before that, you know, this is one of the reasons why I like a company like Infrastrata, where they're planning to store gas so that, you know, last year I did remember saying to you that, you know, there were a couple of days in February when the beast from the east was here that we were so short of gas that we thought we were going to run out, and the spot price of gas went through the roof. And you know, if you'd been a trader trading gas last year, you'd have made the whole money for the whole year in two or three days. So then, of course, the other thing is that it works the other way around, because in the middle of the summer in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia uses the best part of 2 million barrels a day just on air conditioning, domestic air conditioning. So...
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What companies you look at, Marky?
We're talking about this morning's announcements from Sound Energy and SDX Energy.
Yeah.
So I'll do them first. Sound have announced that the rig that they were drilling on TE10 in Tendrara, onshore Morocco, has demobilized and is now stacked, waiting to go to the TE11 well. They've confirmed that the de-risking of the stratigraphic play at TE10 is confirmed. So the gas that they found and the net pay that they found has been confirmed, which is good. what happens here is they have what they call a rigless stimulation program, which means that you don't have to use the exploration rig. You bring in kits, Schlumberger, their partners, so they'll be bringing in kit to do about a month. They're saying 30 days plus, maybe a bit more. So they do a stimulation program, which is like fracking. They're starting that beginning of February, so we won't hear much on this for another month or so. But it's extremely good news, because it means that they've got things to work on. They think that the well will tie back to the TE5 discovery, which they made some time ago, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. If the stimulation program on the stratigraphic play comes in, and for example TE10 was to be a standalone, then you know the economics start to look significantly better. It's making extremely good progress. Back down to TE5 that I just mentioned, which is their gas discovery. That development, and it's a development now, is making very good progress. The consortium that's been put together, which isn't being paid for by Sound, is well underway on the feed work, and that will complete has already completed the first section, and will complete the second section in April. It looks like TE5 Forst is going to be a proper development, and of course if we get that on TE10 as well, then it's going to be very good news for Sound Energy. With the gas sales contract and delivery, it's just a question of working out where they go from here. They'll wait until they've got all their numbers underway for TE5. They'll wait until they've tested TE10. But generally, much better news for Sound.
Yeah, do you know what? Chart-wise, I mean, they've had a bounce from that sort of low. They came back down to sort of almost 11 to 10 pence. They bounced up to like 30 pence. That's almost obviously troubling money. But I mean, they're still in the downtrend. They can't get above that 200-day moving average. And I think once they get above that, it'll be different. But I don't think, you know, I'd be very surprised if they revisit that low again, because that was majorly oversold, you know? So
yeah, I mean, that got to the stage where, you know, it was literally a bad week. It was a time when, you know, everyone thought that, you know, the game was over, that they'd had a dry hole. If you remember, TE9 was a dry hole.
Yeah.
Or at least it didn't, you know. The gas up there is clearly, you know, in North Africa, there's plenty of gas. It's just a question of the Tadji gas is difficult to get out, you know. It's, but, you know, that was the sort of worst day they had, and people thought that it was game over and so on. But it certainly isn't, and now we've got some quite interesting news here, which will, you know, filter out over the next 4 to 6 weeks, I would have thought.
Yeah, yeah. SOU, cool. SDX,
SDX Energy have announced their full operational and corporate update this morning, calling 2019 is going to be what they call a landmark year for the company, and I don't disagree with that at all. As you know, I've been following this for some time, in fact, pretty much since it listed in London 3 years ago. So they've announced in sort of obviously two sections in Morocco, in the Garb Center, where they've got they've had a lot of 3D seismic done. The processing and interpretation of that is completed. The quality of the data is excellent, and they found what they call multiple leads and prospects identified, which is what you need to do when you've got a big drilling campaign coming up. And so they've got a 12-well campaign, which will be starting in late autumn of this year. I think late Q3, early Q4 is when they're planning to start, and they'll complete that in the first half of 2020. And it will include, they're going to go back and retest LNB1 and LMS1 wells in Lala Mamouna, which could be interesting. And then all the rest will be in the Garb Center, where they've identified quite a lot. So 3 of 12 wells will be done this year, and the remaining next spring. Cost will be $10 million, about $8 million net to SDX. They'll also have some costs of the field facilities and the capex there. But in Morocco, they're expecting gross production of between 9 and 11 million scf a day, and that'll be extremely positive indeed.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
We know that they've got a good client base, and importantly, as you and I have talked about before, with SDX, the gas price in Morocco is very high, so it's very, very profitable, that. Moving over to Egypt, most important there is South Dussuk. Obviously, they're concentrating on that. The first half it's going to complete finishing of the investment that they put into the central processing facility. Obviously, the export pipeline and the tie-ins of the four existing producing wells. So that'll be up and running in mid this year. First gas, probably late second Q, I'd have thought. And as expected, a gross plateau production rate of 50 to 60 million scf a day of gas, which is extremely good. I think that, you know, for the cost of this, it's going to be, you know, their very key play in Egypt. Obviously, you know, sort of they've got other prospects, but they're excited by the other prospects in South Dussuk as well, where they've got exploration wells for gas and even conventional oil, I understand. They've also they're continuing to invest in their other two plays, Merceda and Northwest Gemsa, which are both producing strongly at the moment. I think they're saying 7,500 to 7,800 barrels a day with modest capex. You know, basically, it's continuing to invest in those facilities in order to keep production going. So that's looking very good. And of course, they recently drilled South Ramadan, where the data is coming in still. But to be honest, I think that, you know, I expect that to be you know, to take some time to identify the data there. So a really good year last year. They're continuing to do well. They've got cash of $17 million in the bank. They've undrawn facilities from the EBRD of $10 million. So no problem about funding their work program. And we obviously, they've got cash coming in as well. Receivables from the Egyptian government, i.e. the back bills, are all being paid off very nicely. So a very strong position there. And as I say, they say landmark, we say it could be transformational. But they're also moving away from the TSX market. They're on that at the moment as well, TSXV, the Explorers market over there. But I think that, you know, it saves them a lot of money if they're not on both markets. And the key market for the institutions and the retail that are investing in SDX is London.
Yeah.
So they're moving over from there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you know what? Paul's on the podcast, very bullish there, and he's, I'm just seeing it now on Twitter, he's saying, a quote from him, looking ahead, there are a number of important milestones that we intend to meet across the portfolio, which have the potential to deliver significant value for shareholders. Yeah, you see that 10,000 sort of barrels a day and some good margins on some of that as well, you know. And so no doubt they'll be generating, you know, a pretty penny over the next year.
Yeah, they'll be doing very well, very well. Yeah.
Cool, anything else?
Just a couple of quick ones. There's a few things on the on onshore last week. I noticed that IGAS spudded their Springs Road well in North Knots, and also that the guys who are doing the Wrestle onshore oil field, this has been a terrible time for them, with the council keep turning them down for planning, even when the planning officer advises that it should be put through. So they won a case last week, which means that they're a bit further down the road. They've still got to get the planning inquiry completed, and they've still got to get the appeal is now in. So, you know, hopefully with, you know, having been agreed by almost everybody. But, you know, you can never tell with these councils. You know,
do you know what? I was chatting to David Bramhill from Union Jack Oil. Mm. And I was saying that, you know, I don't understand what they're doing. They're flying in the face of every bit of advice they're asking for. They're asking for a bit of advice from local planning officer who've said several times, yeah, give it the go ahead. And they just turn it down. I thought, what do they need? Yeah. What do they need? They, you know, they're ticking all the boxes as required. And yet they're just getting turned down. They're just really, and I said to David, I said, I can't see how you do, you know, you keep calm about it, but I'd be going mad about this. It's absolutely so infuriating.
It's driving you bonkers, you know. I mean, no, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll only get myself into trouble.
I know, exactly.
Two quick words on Georgia. I noticed that Block Energy, which I've talked to you about a couple of times, they're sidetracking the West Rastavi field in the Republic of Georgia. Mm-hmm. That started last week. This is really important for them because they are doing two horizontal sidetracks here, and they're targeting up to 650 barrels a day of oil from the Middle Eocene formation, mm-hmm. Which will be by the end of this year. That's a very meaningful amount, and it's a tick in the box for the promises that Block Energy have been making, so they're doing that. More importantly, when they've done these two, they will go up from 25% to 75% working interest in the block, and that's extremely good news for them, because not just this success, but there's gas potential nearby, and they are it's quite an exciting play, Block, so you want to keep an eye open for.
Yeah, I've had Paul
and also while we're in Georgia, you notice that Frontera delisted from the market last week. Now, I get into awful trouble with this, but, you know, I am led to believe from the IR people that, you know, this is a sort of forced delisting because they didn't have a Nomad, and the Nomad resigned on Christmas Eve, which I understand, you know, some people who are very bearish say they found something they didn't like. You know, also Frontera have got a court case coming up, which may or may not harm them. But the bottom line is that the IR people say that there is going to be continued shareholder meetings and so on. It'll give them an opportunity to maybe consolidate the shares, and they've sought out the court case. Yeah, I am told by them that they plan to relist, and at the moment operationally it's business as usual. Don't forget, they announced that they had a couple of majors looking around. We know that one of those is Baker Hughes. And the rumours in the market are that the other one is BP. So, if they did deal operationally, then everything is looking good. At the moment, the bears have it. It's delisted. As far as they're concerned, it's game over. And if it is, it's obviously very sad, but these things happen. At the moment, I'm being told that they are going to relist and everything else. If it isn't the case, then I'm wrong. Or I'm being advised wrong. So,
yeah.
But underlying, I still think Frontier is okay. There are lots of people who don't, but that's what makes a market.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you know what? It's like I say, it's risk and everything, and you never know what's going to happen. It's just like never put your eggs all in one basket, because that basket could fall apart.
That's what we would say, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Marvelous stuff. Thanks for that, Malky, and we'll catch up next week, fella.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks very much.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, Altona Energy. At four, Jangada Mines. At three, Flybe Group. At two, Bluebird Merchant Ventures. And number one most followed is Red Emperor Resources, RMP. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five is Joint STX Energy. That's operations update, of course, Paul chatting about that. And Highlands Natural Resources, gas sales commenced at East Denver Project. At four, Harvest Minerals, statement on Bramadino, tailings dam failure. Awful story in the paper, that. In the news, I should say. At three, Sound Energy, Eastern Morocco operations update. At two, Jangada Mines, 117% increase in JORC resource at Pedra Branca. And number one, one of the CEOs, Stephen's on the podcast today, Reable Resources, production well tested, VG well in West Brentford. Of course, we chatted about that, just listened to it earlier. Thanks very much. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.